speak to him for a minute.
Yeah, I talked to him last night.
Oh.
That's kind of where we left it, I thought.
I understand.
Yeah. All right. Earlier, you told me these things that...
Is this early enough?
I mean, if it's down at all, you should let us know.
Well, I waited a day, because I thought it was just a community problem.
Send him an email.
If you were all down, you would hear about it here.
But don't...
Yeah,
don't send the original.
Yeah. Don't fax the original.
So
no, I caught Harry on that. Remember a few years ago?
That's a good one. That's a Bill Haley tune.
Don't fax the original.
Don't fax the original.
Yes, it is.
Ready early?
No, we're not. That clock is slow. 30 seconds slow.
I got 7:31.
I want to preface today by saying that what we're going to talk about today is from the Talmud. It's not what it's just discussion. Okay, it's all right.
Off the record?
No, it's not off the record.
Do you have the Talmud in your office?
Huh?
Do you have a copy of the Talmud?
Yeah, and the Zohar and the Midrash. Why?
Because we're reading a book that talks about the Talmud, and I was thinking of making a little field trip to your office so we could see it.
Oh, sure.
Make them wear dust masks.
No, they have to. You have to. That's the reason the writing is so small that you almost have to have a magnifying glass. It's the reason I lost my eyesight. Ecclesiastes 7. No.
We should be embarrassed.
Progress is vanity.
So saith the preacher.
Verse 26.
Oh, my favorite one.
And I find more bitter than death the woman, whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands is bands, who pleaseth God. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Now, again, it's important, and there's nothing more clear that reveals this, that this is obviously talking about the only two that exist, the bride and the whore. The vessel of wrath and the vessel of mercy. And so it's unfortunate that Sue is the subject of...
Ooh. Ooh. You thought you were safe all these.
Oh, I knew better.
I find more bitter than death is the woman. Now, there are it's an incredible amount of information on this, but we're just going to take a little bit of it, okay? Just a sampling. There are 14 things which are stronger one than the other, and each one is dominated by the next. The ocean deep is strong, but the earth dominates it. The earth is strong, but mountains are stronger. A mountain is strong, but iron dominates it and breaks it. Iron is strong, but fire melts it. Fire is strong, but water crunches it. Water is strong, but clouds carry it. Clouds are strong, but wind disperses it. Wind is strong, but a wall withstands it. A wall is strong, but man demolishes it. Man is strong, but trouble weakens him. Trouble is strong, but wine causes it to be forgotten. Wine is strong, but sleep dominates it. Sleep is strong, but illness prevents it. Illness is strong, but the angel of death dominates. And worse than all these is the unrepentant woman. If you want to be a Pharisee now, we'll talk about this means how you should act as a, or shouldn't act. We can go and read Proverbs 31 as the ideal woman and think that's what you're supposed to model yourself after if you're a woman. But if you can see what God is talking about and what really this is talking about, you'll see that the strongest, this is right, the strongest of these, even stronger than the angel of death, is the whore of Babylon. Because you will be constantly ensnared. Nothing can stop the ensnarement. Even the death, then you're subjected to the next day of your whatever your mind is saying. And remember, the whore of Babylon, if you believe Revelation, is sitting on the seven mountains. She's arrayed in fine purple, and she's the controlling point for the entire religious system that goes on within our heads. Do you all understand? Do you understand this? I'm not picking on women here. I'm picking on the whore of Babylon. Now, if I'm right, and if what we read during all of these fast days of the fast of Ab and the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab, then there is something that transpires. We read Daniel and we read all about Babylon in those days. And there's a signal that sounds. It's called a sackbut, and we've talked to Ben, to Trump, or whatever, whenever this thing sounds, blares, then everyone in the kingdom of Babylon has to bow to it. And the whole mystery of God is that the anti-Babylon is revealed in Daniel and revealed in the three young men who don't bow, and then they are put in a place where there's where the whore has no control. So, if I'm right, and cause and effect is really the sound, then every time that you respond to any stimuli based on cause and effect, then you've left the mercy seat, and you've been dominated, if you will, by this woman, this mystery woman.
Is part of it built into that by responding to cause and effect? You're saying that God is not the cause, and you have to respond and do something or fix it or whatever. You're not seeing him as all.
Well, remember the predicate for this thing, this one verse or this concept, is except you be converted and become as this little child, this child who is totally dependent, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. And that's the great message of what we're about, what the gospel is. But it's the thing that is most hated. It's why we are always a sweet savor of Christ, both in them that live and them that are perishing. To the one, it's a savor of life unto life. To the other, the savor of death unto death. There's no in between. Once you reveal that this enemy of faith, the enemy, the greatest enemy of mercy and grace in the universe, meaning cause and effect, which is the swamp in which we swim, then And unless you see that, then all of these things that about, you know, there's, I find more bitter than death the woman. Now, it's interesting. It's not, again, in our language, I mean, in English it doesn't mean anything, but in Greek and in Hebrew, when there is an article, it's the woman. The, and it points specifically to, not Sue, even though she probably fits, but it points to the woman that's the enemy of all things. The whore of Babylon. And unless this is in your head, unless you see this, then you'll walk in constant deception. And this is why we've just gone through, this comes right after the apprehension of wisdom.
This is like the Antichrist, for the same thing.
All right. Anybody understand?
Yeah. No. What I'm sitting here thinking is that this half hour, this is kind of like a half hour out of timeout where we sit and we hear these things.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, I'm trying to say it. We're talking about is what is. When you make the decision to step into the world of deception, it's not like you're a free moral agent who's watching things go on and can talk about it and analyze it and go, oh, now this is happening. You're deceived. It's not. I sit here and talk about, oh, well, that means this. Well, it doesn't mean anything. What it means is you're deceived, and everything from that point on is deception. It's not, I don't know how to say what it is I'm trying to say. But
let's go to Revelation 12 a minute.
The only place you're involved is that moment of decision. After that, I mean, then it's just either the whore or the bride. You're...
Verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So that's why all of the scriptures that talk about, you know, all who dwell upon the earth, all it's the meaning of dwell. I mean, if you think this is the dwelling, this is the place, this is the arena for battle, then by that thought process itself, or this is the arena for realization, or this is the arena for anything, then everything after that, you're deceived. Because Satan, you gotta, it's in Hebrew, it's ha-satan. And again, ha-the, satan. And it's the opposer. And it's like we've got to get rid of this comic book theology that he is the opposer, so that which is real, the good, the perfect, the acceptable will of God is tested in you. Now, he is not running around saying this and that and blah, blah, and God is telling you this and that and this and that. It's if you're in this world of sensory perception, and making judgments based on what the arena, then you're already defeated. And it doesn't matter whether, you know, what theology you're using. Oh my, I'm on a mission to save the poor, or I'm on a mission to do. Well, if you're on a mission in the world, then you're already in the deception. Do you understand? That's why we can't rank anything. We can't think that anything is more important than anything else. It's all the arena for the opposition, for the opposing, and that's its job. That's what it's supposed to do. All of time and all of space is the arena of HaSatan, the one who has the right of first redemption, our nearest kinsman. And so long as we live in that world, whether we are good at it or whether we fail at it, if our mind says that we failed at it, but I wished I would have been good at it, then you're still in that arena. That's why it's so critical to understand what happened on Pentecost. What happened on Pentecost was it's not even good enough to say universal. It was beyond universal. It was this. The heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly Matrona coming down and meeting. And it's everything else is deception. That's why every idea that you've ever had, every thought process that you've ever had, every invention, every great thing that you thought you were doing, was all equally vain and futile and empty. Not just you, the whole human race. Because we are to be in total dependence on Him. We aren't seduced by cause and effect. We aren't seduced by reward and punishment. We aren't seduced by anything. That's why my prayer from the beginning was to say to the world, the devil and the flesh, take your best shot, because I saw this is what was going on. It wasn't this comic book crap. And we got time going, and this is going to happen over here, and then this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and if that doesn't happen, then we can do this over here. And then because all that comic book theology is part of your comic book self. You have created a caricature, and you call it you. And you've created a universe, and you've adopted all the value systems of it, and make your judgments and opinions and ideas based on that false universe. It's not false from the standpoint of God, but it's false from the standpoint of you giving it any breath. This is why that we love the Lord. We love, as a verb, give breath only to Him. We love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. That's because He is the only one we give breath to, ever. Oh, well, this is happening over here, and that's happening over there, and this is going on over there, and this is going to be a disaster, and that's going to happen. Or, I can do this. I can be Jersey Boy and save the world. It's too late. The night has come. No man can work. So all of these parables, these they're much more than parables, they're patterns, they're exactness that show us and let us see really that there are no options. Let us see this stupidity of what do all men worship the illusion of, even if they don't know what it is. It's the illusion of free will. There are only two wills in the universe. The will of God, well, there's really only one, the will of God, but He's using the will of HaSatan to oppose it, to see whether or not if you trust only in Him. It's so simple. But you get seduced by not just by making any judgments based on the world system. There's all kinds of types. That examples in the scriptures that show this, and we'll look at a few of them. You see, this is like the, okay, we've studied the pillars of wisdom, right? Now, this is the fruit of it. Do you see who the woman is? Are you going to be seduced again today and then be a victim? Oh, God, oh, poor me. As you probably are aware, I really love victims. Especially those poor victims of me. Mr. Bojo, any response or any you got to have something. Do you understand this? I mean, if this isn't true, let's just quit. Because this is stupid what we do. This is just ridiculous. I don't want to hang out with anybody anymore. I want to go live in a cave. I want to go figure out a way to get Castle Hot Springs.
Well, speaking of lifestyle, it seems like since everything points back to relationship to the Father, you know, that's it. It seems like the expression of a body could take place, and it would just be praying. That's it. Nothing else.
And there are many people that do that. There are many bodies that do, that's all they do is pray.
Or like the Quakers, they just get together and
silent
until something happens.
There are many, many different things that happen. That's why it's none of our business. We just have to be faithful to what we see. I was on another talk show yesterday in Pittsburgh, and I went ballistic. And that's what we're just talking about right now. And we'll see.
What set you off?
Is that what he said?
What we're studying.
I'm surprised people are still calling, I guess.
Oh, what you mean because of the crap? Oh, nobody pays attention to that. If they do, it'll make my life a lot simpler. So I don't care if they call or not. This is so big, please.
This is far, far bigger than I thought. I mean, I've been here 20 years or something, and this is far worse than I ever thought.
What did you see this morning?
It's just any self-awareness, anything. About self, you're deceived. You're completely deceived.
I've been saying for 35 years.
It's not like, you know, good self is going to Bible study and paying attention and going to remember it and write down a note and then know where it is in the Bible and then be able to pass it on to somebody later in the day. far worse than I thought. And I was right 20 years ago when I said you're from another fucking planet.
It's not me. I didn't make this up.
I know that. I know that. Somebody hits you in the head, and it's in your head, and you can talk about it. It's far worse than I thought. Which is great.
Whose heart? No.
Why don't you close the book and throw it away in disgust? Yeah.
All right. We've got that. That was just the introduction. Since I can tell I'm through, I'll just quit.
Well, you came to a finish.
I don't know. He may be going
in the
wrong.
We didn't do anything. You finished.
On your way to the cave.
Back to your cave.
Going to the bat cave.
In the yellow cougar.
This was a hermit named Dave.
Drugstore next to your bed.
My Nantucket.
Editor of our paper wrote a thing about Israel and the, you know, eschatology end times thing. And now everybody's mad at him, calling him a heretic, writing letters. Saying basically what we're saying about Israel, the nation of Israel. in times, prophecies, and all that kind of stuff. Oh, it's sort of a hornet's nest. Quite a little.
He's an unbeliever.
Burning doesn't have time to worry about me being involved in something.
Burning at the stake.
I mean, I just got started, let me tell you. But
avoid his office today like the plague.
Harry, what? I mean, not Harry, the other Harry guy. Gary, do you this is really the core issue of life. I mean, there's nothing else than this for you right now.
What in particular are you talking about?
Yeah, you want to ask that.
Explain you.
No. All of the, you know, I know you well. And this is the arena that you, this is, so you're equipped to resist it now. You don't have to ever again go there.
No, that and just saying it is one thing, but it more confirms a reality than tells me about something.
I mean, of course. This is what everybody knows.
Yeah.
If they,
it is the only real thing. And all this other stuff that's flittering around in the landscape is just, you know, say entertainment, but it's just there, as you say, to oppose, to prove what's a perfect and acceptable will of God. And to, like I said at the beginning, cause and effect thing, if I start reacting and responding to that stuff, then I've jumped off the mercy seat and I'm in the game thinking I have some chance of winning.
Well, you're thinking you have a stake in the game.
Yeah.
And the stake can be financial, or it can be emotional, or it can be any kind of the reward, or I mean the cause and effect. It's not, I mean, each of us has a different thing that we want the effect to be. In other words, you know, what's his name over here said, Skippy. You know, he's happiest if I just leave him alone and don't ever say anything to him. Somebody else, and I mean, in that arena, in this small arena, you know, somebody else may want me to say hi there, and it's, but that's just. But each of us have a different expectation of whatever if something caused, then we want an effect that. And whatever that is, it's the mirror image, or the thing that's necessary in you, so that you will perfectly fit, knitted and jointly together is in His mystery, in His body, not just with us, but with the universal body. And so you can't. There's nothing that you should be different than you are about. It's just that. The subtleties of the different, you know, whatever it is that we would think that we want the outcome of something to be is different, and that's the right, that's the good and perfect, and that's I certainly don't want the outcome that, you know, that Harry would want about anything, because we are different. But that's fine. I mean, there's nothing. There's not a value judgment.
The same temptation dressed in a different dress.
Right.
So, I mean, doesn't matter.
Right. And but that's why it's so important that you understand that God has made you to be exactly as you are. In all of its intricacies, so the subtleties of the of what can draw you away, or what you think the cause and effect should be, is perfect. It's what's supposed to be. That's how we fit together. It's, you know, that's how the mystery of his body is being created. That's why, you know, we can't say that you should act this way about something or. Everybody understand that? This is really, really, really important, and I because it's the fruit of knowing what we've talked about the wisdom. Then all of a sudden, wisdom produces a fear of God, and the fear of God produces an awareness of my God, I should have been wiped out 50 million times. Not he should have been wiped out or she should have been wiped out, but I should have been wiped out. I should have been dust. I should have been sackcloth and ashes. I should have been not even existent for everything that I've done that you know, it makes me beyond the chief of sinners, which is, that's kind of impossible. But the moment the finger points, then you know you've gone. You're back into the world system. Like for Jeff, the most important thing that you have to see is that God has been in control. He's everything that has ever happened. He did it. So you could see. So forgiveness becomes easy. It's just, my God, thank you for anything that anybody, any perceived injustice, or my God, I thank you for it.
Yeah, because everything, quote unquote, Satan thought he was doing to draw you away, God was using as the means of clarifying.
Well, not that he was using to try to draw you away, that he used for which you were drawn away. Huh?
That's what I meant to say.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I said that's what I meant.
No, I mean, we have to admit that we have been drawn away constantly. You know, I'm sorry, I can't hear out of either ear now, so if I act like I'm ignoring you, I now have a great excuse.
My sight's gone, it's yours gone.
I know.
Yeah, but the Sioux fits.
What?
The Sioux fits where...
It took me a minute to catch
it. Don't. I know what that means.
Remember the old story about the footwork?
I understand. Get out of here. Quick. Take it, big guy, quick.
What's the matter with your ears?
I swim every day, and then I get water in there, and then I hope that's what's the matter.